Praise God. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for bringing us up to date. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the New Testament book of John, the Gospel of John. And say again, we're so glad to be in church with you this morning. Feel the presence of the Lord here today. Grateful for his help and, amen, his presence here today. Shouldn't surprise us. He told us where two or three are gathered together in his name, there will he be in the midst of them. And I feel that he's here with us today. John chapter 4, if you want to be finding that place, I'm going to take just a segment of this chapter that tells a wonderful story of Jesus' encounter with a Samaritan woman. We're often referred to either as the Samaritan woman or the woman at the well. And this is a tremendous story. But we'll start reading in verse 5 and down to verse 10 and then refer to some of the things before and after. But here's what I would consider the heart of the story, all right? So starting in verse 5, then cometh he, and of course that he is Jesus, then cometh Jesus to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. That's an important little historic fact. So Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, no, about noon, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Praise God. I love this conversation. Amen. How many of you have heard at least one message in your life about the woman at the well? All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us even here this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And even as David prayed, Lord, we want to hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. It is guidance for us and an encouragement to us. And we pray now that you would speak to us from it, Lord, that you would take this encounter that you had so many years ago with this woman and cause us to see our own need to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, we'll give you the praise for everything that's accomplished today. Amen. And everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. I want to draw my title from verse number 10, that phrase where Jesus says to the woman, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. If thou knewest. If we put that in modern English, of course, it would be, if you knew. And I think that it is inferred here, if you only knew, if you only knew. And by saying that and using that as my title, I don't mean for it to come across in the sarcastic sense that we sometimes hear. We might ask somebody in our day, you know, maybe somebody we don't even know, how's it going today? Oh, if you only knew. You ever got that reply? And we know by that there's a sarcasm that lets us know that you don't know, and we know you don't care, but the reality is I've got a lot going in my life right now. But that's not the sarcastic way that I'm interpreting this morning, but it's the realization that there's some things that she does not know, amen, and if she only knew, wouldn't it change her perspective about this present environment that she's in? Amen. This woman at the well is a wonderful story about the omniscience of Jesus, even here on earth. though he was limited by his humanity, God in flesh. And there are times that we see the limitations of his humanity even here. Even here, him and his disciples have been traveling. They get to this location, Sychar, in Samaria, in the middle of the day. And the Bible says that he is weary. Amen. How is he who gives us all strength wearied? Well, it's the humanity side. It's him in flesh. And so we see those limitations. But that doesn't mean that he quits being God. He is God in the flesh. I believe, amen, that Jesus in his humanity is still God. He is all God and he is all human. Impossible for us to fully understand, but we can't forget that. Because here we see the omniscience of God. Omniscience, of course, is one of the words that we use in describing how great God is. Omniscient meaning all-knowing. Omnipotent meaning all-powerful. And omnipresent meaning everywhere present. That's God. He is everywhere present. God, he is all-powerful. And God is all-knowing. And here we see that omniscience demonstrated in the life of Jesus here on earth. First of all, in the sense that earlier in this chapter, verse number 4, while in their travels, he makes it known to his disciples that we're going to Samaria. He must needs go to Samaria. There's a compelling happening in Jesus that he knows that he needs to go to Samaria. There's somebody there that there's a work he wants to do there. There's somebody there that he wants to see. I believe, my personal opinion is this woman at the well is in his mind. That he is going for the sole purpose, maybe not the sole purpose, there are other things that will be accomplished, but this is one of the driving forces that makes him need to go to Samaria. There's a woman that needs him. Amen. And so there we see a glimpse of his omniscience. But then we see in this conversation that Jesus seems to know a lot about this woman in advance. And in the conversation, a lot of it is revealed. But just to give you a summary of this woman's life, first of all, she is a Samaritan, which she herself admits here to Jesus, why are you talking with me? Why are you even asking me for a drink of water? The Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans, and I'm a Samaritan. And so she admits that. Jesus knows that. There's a history there. And so there's some preconceived ideas here. There's some prejudice that's going on. And you can study the history of that, but I'll just leave it there that she was a Samaritan. Secondly, So she was a Samaritan and she was a woman. Another thing that raised some flags to her that made her say what she said, you're not supposed to be talking to me. I am a woman. I am a Samaritan. And that's just not normal protocol. This is not acceptable, normal behavior for you to be having a talk with a Samaritan and a woman in public. Later on, when the disciples come back, they bring up the same thing. They're shocked. Well, why are you talking to this stranger, this woman? It just wasn't acceptable a norm for that day. So she was a Samaritan, and she was a she, and she was a sinner. And she had a reputation. And she later on is going to be surprised that Jesus knows all about that reputation. Amen. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. So now that we know the basic overview of the story, amen, I'm even more amazed at the fact that in this conversation, she didn't know who he was. She didn't know or recognize who she was in company with, but she's going to find out. But using this question, I want to try to apply it to us this morning. And so I may be going back and forth between saying, if she only knew, or if we only knew, or if you only knew. Amen. But the reality is there's some things that we don't know, but if we could. Amen. If we could. If we could, if we only knew what he knew. Amen. Which will never happen in this life, especially our understanding and our knowledge is so limited. Even among us today, you with college degrees, I commend you. You worked hard to gain a lot of knowledge in the special fields that you studied. And I believe in education, the gathering of knowledge, and using that knowledge to some purpose and some good. But that doesn't mean you know it all. All right? Amen. We know some things, but we don't know everything. And we are encouraged by that scripture that lets us know that someday we will know even as we are known. I don't know that we will have the complete knowledge that God has, but we will have access to that knowledge. We'll be able to ask him anything that we want, and maybe our questions will be changed then. I don't know about that, but specifically, we will know even as we are known. I believe that there will be a revelation in heaven about us that we didn't know about us. That we will begin to understand the complications of our own individuality in ways that only heaven will reveal. But there are a lot of things that even you don't know about you. Amen. It takes the Lord working in our life to reveal those areas of our life that need to be addressed and spoken to. But here I want to point out, amen, that Jesus knew her. He knew things about her. And in summary, he knew her past, he knew her present, and he knows her future. Amen. Praise God. Amen. In her past, Jesus points out later on in this conversation, when she brings up something, or where he brings it up, he says, go and tell your husband. And she said, that's kind of a sensitive issue right there. And he says, she says, I don't have a husband. And he says, you've rightly said, but you have had five husbands. And the one that you have now is not your husband. So in those few words, he lets her know, I know about your past. I know about your present, the way that you're living now, the way that you've lived, your reputation. I think that later on when she goes and she starts telling all of her neighbors about this conversation, she says, come and see a man that told me everything that I've done. I don't know if that is inferred there, that because she knew that he knew the bad parts of her life, that you know, he knew everything, or if there was more to the conversation that's not necessarily recorded here. But I know one thing. He knew a lot about her. Amen. Can I tell you, he knows a lot about you? He knows you. Amen. He knows you. If you only knew how much he knew, there might be different responses in you. First of all, there might be a sense of panic and fear. Oh no, he knows that. Amen. Because there would be some things that we would be ashamed for anybody else to know. And maybe you feel a little bit of that. What if other people knew my past, where I'd been, what I had done? That's not the issue here today. It doesn't matter whether everybody else knows or not. What is important is he knows. He knows. He knows our past. He knows where we were. He knows where we've been. He knows what we've done. He knows us. He knows our name. Praise God. I'm telling you, he knows us. He knows your name. He knows where you are presently, right here this morning, geographically. He knows your location, but he knows also where you are spiritually. And you may be struggling here this morning, and there may be still things in your life that you haven't dealt with yet, and you're not sure if you fit in here at church this morning, or whether you deserve to be saved, whether or not God will even love you or accept you the way that you are. And I'm telling you that Jesus knows all about that. He knows you by name. He knows where you've been. He knows where you are, but he also knows your future. And the future can be a whole lot different if you would just ask him for a drink. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you only knew, Jesus says, if you only knew who it was, who it is that's sitting right here beside you, you would ask of him and he would give you to drink living water. And then he goes on to say in verse number 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Everlasting life. Hold on just a second. I want to point you into the future, and I want to tell you that sometimes we are so captivated by the past and the present that we can't see that there is a better life, an amazing, abundant life, and even an everlasting life that is ahead of us. We don't have to be ruined by our reputation, but today Jesus is sitting here on the well right beside you, and he is saying, if you only knew what I knew, what I know, amen, you would ask of me. And I would give you living water. Praise God. Not only that, if you only knew, amen, what he could do. And that that I've already said leads into this next phase. And if you didn't notice in my title on the screen there, I asked Brother Mike if he would add the three little dots to the end of that title. If you only knew dot, 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 that means to be continued. There's more to this sentence. And I've got a few little rhyming things going on here this morning. If you only knew what he knew, amen. If you only knew what he can do, amen, what he can do. And it's implied here that there are things that Jesus can do. He can do it for this woman. He can do it for you, and he has done it for others. Praise God. I believe that Jesus can save, Jesus can deliver, Jesus can set free, Jesus can forgive, Jesus can change lives, he can change a direction, he can make this all better. You don't have to continue on as a sinner, and he's going to tell her, go your way and sin no more. You don't have to keep living this way. I do know, amen, I do know, but that's so messed up. Yeah, but that was yesterday. Go your way and sin no more. You don't have to live that way anymore. Jesus can make a change in our life, and we can have a different outcome to it. I'm telling you, I'm glad that Jesus can take a long-haired hitchhiking hippie and turn him into a holiness preacher. I'm glad that Jesus can take alcoholics and set them free, change their lives. Praise God. Amen. I was preaching a few years ago now in a little town of Alto Pass, Illinois, a town that we know very well, Southern Illinois. A friend of ours, Brother Bill Carter, is the pastor there. He had asked us to come for a special weekend and for their special Friday night service. The choir had worked hard in this little church. Sister Rebecca, you would have been proud of them. They worked really hard for a special song that night. But as the choir was coming up on the platform, the choir director took the microphone and said, while they're coming and getting in place, I just want to tell all of you who may be visiting tonight that you don't know this, but this is a choir of misfits that's gathering on the platform right now. And, you know, so process that term, the choir of misfits. And he goes on to say, We have a woman in the choir today that was a heroin addict, but she's not anymore. We've got a man in the choir today who was an alcoholic, but Jesus set him free. We have somebody that's been battling for a long time over the haunting memories of childhood abuse, but Jesus healed them. And this evening, they're singing in the choir. Amen. Let me tell you, just because they're up here singing doesn't mean that they can't relate to you. The reality is we all have a story. We have a past. We haven't all been good always, amen. But because of Jesus, there's a different outcome in our life. I'm telling you what he can do this morning. He can change lives. He can change this woman, and he can change you. Praise God. Oh, I could tell you the stories in my travels as an evangelist, but one popped into my head of not too far from here, over in Connersville, Indiana, the man that plays the steel guitar, and brother, I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but he had his steel guitar set up this morning, and I said, oh, good, we get to hear steel guitar this morning. I like it. But brother Bill at Connersville, after the service, we were talking about it, and he said, Brother Blue, you may not know my story. I didn't always play my steel guitar in church. I used to play in the honky-tonks and the bars around town. And he said, but I had a praying wife. She had got saved, and she was living for the Lord. And she was praying constantly for me to get saved. And he said, I won't do this. But if I did, I could open my shirt, and I could show you all the scars from the bars, the fights, the knife stabs, the wounds, the reminders of my rough life in the past. But he said, that was then and this is now. My wife prayed until I got saved, and Jesus saved me. And what I used to be, I ain't that way anymore. Somebody say amen. Praise God. If you only knew what he knew, amen, about you, if you only knew what he could do for you, I'm telling you, amen, it might change your perspective on some things. If you only knew that he was in view, amen. By that little phrase, I just mean to imply to you that Jesus is a lot closer right now than what you think. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible to be in the presence of the Lord and not know it? Don't answer. Just think about it for a moment. Based on this encounter, it is. It's possible to be sitting right by him on the well, amen, drawing water from a place that you've drawn from many times, and be in the presence of the Lord and not be fully aware how close God really is. Amen. The devil will make you feel like the Lord is a million miles away. The haunting memories of your own sin will make you feel like God has forgotten you. He's nowhere to be found. I just happened to come to church hoping, you know, for something to happen, but feel God, know God, where's God? And the reality is he's a lot closer than what you think, friend. He's a lot closer than what you think. It's interesting to me that this story is set at Jacob's well. Jacob's well. This lady brings up the history. They're proud of their history. They know that Jacob had been here, and that's a famous Jewish character, and that's their common claim to fame, the Jews and the Samaritans, which were half-breeds, mixture, and so she's bringing that up, that we have a Jewish heritage too. Jacob was here. This was the well that he dug. And Jacob is also a man like her, was in the very presence of God and knew it not. He said that himself. He laid down his weary head on a pillow made of stone. He took a rock and turned it into a pillow. You know you're tired when you're sleeping on rocky ground and using a stone for a pillow. That's tired. But he went to sleep and dreamed a dream, and there was a ladder, amen, one end touching the earth and the other up into heaven, and angels ascending and descending. And when he wakes up out of his dream, he says, "Surely I was in the presence of the Lord, and I knew it not." Amen. I want to ask us all to do something this morning consciously, and that is to pull up memories, scriptures, thoughts, whatever you have to do. Slap yourself across the face if you have to right now and say, "Get awake here, because I need to remind myself I'm in the presence of the Lord." He's here. Invisible and just beyond the veil of our human limitations to see, but the reality is God is real. And God is right here among us today, closer than we think. Two or three gather together in my name, and there I am in the midst. He is here. Praise God. We need to make ourselves aware of his presence. I think that that's a challenge for Christians every single day, because we get busy. We're busy just like the world is busy. We have appointments. We have obligations. We have to go to work. We have to, you know, this, that, and the other. But it is the discipline of the Christian of doing his daily devotions and reading a scripture and saying a prayer and having a time of devotion and prayer that makes you aware. Amen. Bring back to the consciousness of your mind that God is not just a concept of somebody way off there. He's closer than what we think. And I want to be aware of his presence. Church, can I tell you today, we need to be especially aware of his presence today. We're seeking his will, his guidance. We need to think of God as not being a million miles off somewhere, but as being right here, mindful of us and our decision making and a part of the process. We want to be conscious of the fact that he is closer than what we think. If you only knew how close he really is. There's a couple of things I point out here besides Jacob's encounter and this woman's encounter of being in the presence of the Lord and not know it. Amen. The book of Hebrews tells us that we should be careful to entertain strangers because some have entertained angels unawares. Y'all looking at me funny? Oh, I would know an angel if I saw one. Those big wings and a halo on his head and strength. And, you know, how could anybody be in the presence of an angel and not be aware? The reality is you've got the wrong concept of angelic appearances here in this life. Do a study on it, which I'm not doing this morning, except to say that it is possible to be in the presence of an angel and not be aware of it. So we have to walk cautiously and carefully and be aware, make ourselves aware of the possibility that we are in the presence of the Lord. Amen. That's what living holy is all about. We purposely live holy. We make our choices to give up the things of the world and to live certain ways because it is our conscious intention to live as if we are in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I could tell you stories of friends. I don't know, Sister Maggard, that I have ever had an encounter with an angel that I was fully aware of. Looking back on my life, I think that it's very possible that there were people that came by to assist me in a situation, amen, that I never saw before and never saw after that could have been. Hello? But I know some people who have told stories that they are fully convinced that they had an angelic visitation. I don't dismiss that. I'm just bringing up this idea of if we only knew, amen, how close he really is. Praise God. And then finally, just this idea of if we only knew how much he cares for you. If you only knew how much he cares for you. He cares. He cares for this woman because he's gone out of his way to get to her. He cares for this woman because he sits at the well with her. We know he cares for this woman because he has conversation and talks with her. He cares for this woman because he reveals truth to her. Not just this truth about her life and her past, but other truths about worship. The time is coming, and now is, when true worshipers are going to worship. Amen. Not in this mountain or that mountain. It's not going to be a matter of place and space. It's going to be a matter of devotion and love for God. Worship is going to be different. And she says, I know that Christ is going to come, Messiah is going to come, and he reveals truth to her that I am he. Praise God. This is a powerful conversation to a woman who doesn't deserve it. But in it, he's manifesting how much he cares. He cares. And he offers to be her Messiah and to be her Christ, her Savior. I want you to think about those things as we get ready to pray this morning, because I believe it's very possible that this train of thought, this message today, this idea is important to somebody in this service who just needs to know that Jesus really cares, that Jesus hasn't forgotten, that Jesus hasn't disappeared away. Amen. That you are nobody, and somehow another life doesn't matter anymore. I'm going to tell you, amen, while you're here at the well this morning, amen, while you're here at the well, if I can refer to church that way today, amen, would you just try to be aware of the fact that he does care. He does know you. He is here, and he does want to help you. He's able to do that this morning if you'll let him. And Jesus said, if you only knew who I am, you would be asking me for a drink of water. Would you do that this morning? Amen. As the musicians and singers come, I'd like to ask you all to stand, bow your heads for a few moments, and consciously think about and make yourself aware of, conjure up the knowledge that you do have. There are some things you do know, right? You know he loves us. You know he cares about us. Raise a hand if you agree with me on that. You know that he is here this morning. Did you not feel it as the choir was singing a while ago? You know that he is present. How many of you know that this morning? Praise God. You know what? Just go ahead and put the other hand up beside the voting hand and worship God this morning and praise him for his presence. Oh, if you only knew who it is, who I am, you would ask of me and I would give you water to drink. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, we have business to take care of today. Important business. And then I said, Lord, you know the business that will take place after church. And that's important. But we have business to take care of in the church service. And that's important. Because somebody here today needs to know he's here for you. He cares about you. He's gone out of his way for you. And he's brought you to this place to make you aware of all of that. Why don't you let him help you this morning? We call this place of prayer up here the altar. It's the steps or the front pews, but we gather around and we pray and we call it the altar. What if I called it the well? And what if we imagined that Jesus was sitting up here on this well? And suddenly you know who he is and what he can do and how much he cares. Wouldn't this be a good time for you to come and ask him for a drink? Lord, give me that water. That everlasting water, that everlasting life. Please, Lord, I need a drink from you. Come on, we'll pray with you. We'll ask the Lord to help you as he's helped us. Is there someone here today? Are you praying, church, in case, amen, somebody here needs to be saved, or a backslider that needs to come back home, come back to Jesus. And maybe if you would lead the way, church, they would blend in with the crowd. I always have this hope and prayer and dream that somebody, knowing their need of God, would run to him, brother. Just run down here and call on the name of the Lord. And that might happen before the service is over, but somebody step out and lead the way. Church, we'll gather around for a time of prayer. Drinking from the well. Drawn closer to him, talking to him about the situations of our life, a conversation, him revealing things to us, truth to us, guidance and direction, peace, being aware of him working in our midst today. Oh, thank God. He's closer than you think today. He's right here to help this morning. Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you.
There is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. You are working in our waiting, sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flame. Who could understand your ways? Reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly. Compassionate and kind. You surround and you uphold me. And your presence are my delight. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and